Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amana L. Bay, and this evening we have some very, very informative information. And before we begin, I just want to make mention of the fact that we will be offering our free articles this evening, the 14th Amendment Exposed, as well as the Commerce Game. And for those of you who don't have it, just go ahead and send me an email requesting it. Just say, Tahaka, just I'm requesting your free articles mentioned on your broadcast, and I'll get that to you. Send that to tahaka99@yahoo.com. That's tahaka99@yahoo.com. Also, we have created one of the most incredible libraries that's ever witnessed. We have tons and tons of informative information and aids and tools and articles and forms for you to actually fill out and use when you're dealing with the courts and whatnot. And the way you get hold of that is just by contacting me Eastern Standard Time before 7 p.m. at 904-303-9061, and we'll get that to you. Don't forget, for those of you brothers who are doing your research, we got all your major dictionaries for doing your work. We got Black's Law Volume 1 through 9. Is available. John Bouvier's dictionary, Bloomsbury Dictionary, Ballantyne's Law, Third Edition Dictionary, Oxford and the Essentials Dictionary, all in one package. And that is the way you access that is simply by contacting me by telephone, area code 904-303-9061, before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll get that to you. Also, what we're going to be discussing this evening is what are tracking devices? Will tracking devices be placed in retail stores? Which stores will tracking devices be installed? Are tracking devices being put on people? Are tracking devices harmful to your health? Will this affect our children? Is there any reference to tracking devices being used on people now? Is there a defense against tracking devices available? And what is the RFID? Okay, this is some very, very important information and something that we need to start getting a handle on ahead of time. And the more you know about this stuff, the more successful that you can be in recognizing it when it's being implemented and taking the necessary steps. What we recommend before we get started is you need to contact me in regards to that library, because what we have is a system whereby we take you out from under their thumb and put you in a different position. And it is very, very difficult for them to deal with you once you get in this position. So in regards to that library, just contact me at area code 904-303-9061. I've also been banned off your Facebook page, so we dropped a ton of information there in video format today. And in order to access that, I need you to send me your friend request. Just send it to Tahaka Amana L. Bay. Just type that in there and get on over there and send me that friend request, and I'll go ahead and grant it, because I cannot send out any friend requests. They are trying to block you from getting this type of information that we are bringing to you. But I just wanted to make mention of that to you so you'll know which way to go. Now, we're going to start out with a segment here, and then we'll go right on into the main broadcast, and we're going to have some two 30-minute segments, and where they'll lay it all down for you, okay?
Microchip that could one day be implanted under the skin of every single American.
We have a Florida family who are really pioneers in a brave new world. They have volunteered to be the first ever to have microchip identification devices implanted into their body.
After 9/11, I was really concerned with the security of my family.
Top CFR Lieutenant Diane Sawyer for 8 minutes. Sat there in a sickening fashion with this poor, pathetic family as they discussed how they were all taking microchips because they believed in America and wanted to stop the terrorist. Ladies and gentlemen, this is something out of a science fiction horror movie. They're taking chips because they stand with the mother government. I'm living in Nazi Germany Twilight Zone. Now politicians are announcing that they want to get chipped.
Something has to change, though. They have to find a better way to identify the bad guys, or the rest of us are going to stay home and watch the world go by on televisions. But we need some system for permanently identifying safe people. Most of us are never going to blow anything up, and there's got to be something better than one of these photo IDs, a tattoo somewhere maybe. The Saudis used an American device to scan the eyes of travelers. I wouldn't mind having something planted permanently in my arm that would identify me. If we don't do something, people are going to stop flying. If they stop flying, and I don't go to the Giants games, it means the bastards have won.
Yeah, we're not going to let you in, buddy. We saw what you just implied. We're with Al-Qaeda if we don't take the microchip.
Do you know how to keep your children safe? We'll tell you tonight.
In the next year, you'll be able to use your teen's cell phone to locate them 24/7. Younger children will get a small global positioning device hidden in their wristwatch or backpack. And just around the next high-tech corner, an electronic chip like this that can be implanted under your kid's skin.
Let's say children in your community start wearing wristwatches with GPS devices in them. Can't that only be a good thing for the community if it keeps children safe? I would love that. I mean, what's a parent's fear?
I think it's a parent's obligation to ensure that their children have a chance to mature, to grow, to realize their potential. And if it means it's Big Brother, so be it.
You got to do what you got to do to keep your kids safe. Civil libertarians, eat your hearts out.
Civil libertarians, eat your hearts out.
Applied Digital Solutions could track human beings by satellite. All right. We got the Van Dams, we got this little girl Elizabeth Smart, we got this girl in Pennsylvania, we got Samantha Runyon, we got this other little girl, one after another, after another, after another, after another. And parents around America saying, we can't even allow our kids to play in the front yard. Is there anything, technologically speaking, that they can do that could help in a situation like a kidnapping? Is there, for example, a microchip, a watch, a tracking device we can use for our kids?
We are working on a product that we have called internally a PLD. PLD stands for Personal Locating Device, which is an implantable GPS for which our company owns a patent and can be implanted surgically in the clavicle area of a child or someone that you are interested in tracking. It is the first implantable microchip for humans that has multiple security, financial, and healthcare applications.
One thing I would just suggest, I'm just an outside, soon-to-be investor. I love this idea, by the way, Scott. I think this is great.
Thank you, Sean.
Put it in earrings. Put it in a cross. Make it smaller, maybe not implantable. And I think let parents choose. It's not the government, so I like it. But
we're currently working on those applications.
Good.
I hear music, so thank you for having me.
Give me a cut, Scott. No, I'm kidding. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think it's a great,
make some money.
Great product. I really do.
Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Fearful parents turn to privacy devices. Gets into the microchips. This report comes from the Air Force website. It was also on the Federation of American Scientists. They explain how they're going to get you to accept implantable microchips. It says the PR implications, how they're going to use the media to condition the public to take microchips. This was from January of 2000. Rental car companies may be tracking you via GPS. And now they've admitted that most new cars have satellite tracker boxes already in them. They've started taxing people in England with the satellite tracker boxes. And I've read the federal documents where they plan to start taxing and tracking us with satellite tracking boxes in our cars here as well. And in Los Angeles and north of L.A., they're going to make you carry a transponder tracker. That was in the New York Times. I mean, this is getting too out of control. College seeks security in thumbs. Colleges to buy and sell, to get their lunches, to get into their libraries, got a thumb scan. Again, training of generations. They're doing this with the junior high and middle school and elementary school kids. They're making them thumb scan to get their lunches, training them for the cashless society. No cash allowed, getting them into the control grid.
You're getting scanned. It's not just children getting brainwashed on cartoons. It's everywhere. This is the prison grid, turning the whole world into a cashless control system. I have read the federal documents, the total plan to force us into these compact cities. You absolutely must resist the thumb scans, the face scans, the retina scans, cameras that can recognize you and scan your face against a billion faces in a single second. Everything, no food, no water, no houses, no jobs, no nothing without it. They're actually announcing it. They're going to put it in place, and you are the terrorist. You've already heard them say it. Gun owners, Christians, conservatives, libertarians, liberals, anybody that doesn't go along with global New World Order tyranny will be watched, will be controlled, will be tracked. The New World Order gang has a reason they want to control you.
Yeah. Never made a delivery to your home before.
I'm taking some personal days off, Ed.
Usually I gotta track you down in some toxic vortex, a cosmic battlefield. Retinal scan okay?
Ouch! What's that for?
DNA samples. New policy. A lot of evil hologramic activity going on lately.
Okay, Mois. as you can see, what this is going to end up being about, you got a problem with your with the government. You owe somebody some money or something, and you refuse to play. You don't want to go along with the status quo. They're abusing you and misusing you, and you don't like it, and you want to lash out at them. What we do is just cut off your chip, and you won't be able to purchase anything. It's pretty much based on the same system that you have now. You can go places and try to purchase things. Well, the first thing they say, well, I need to see a photo ID. Do you have a driver's license? You tell them, well, I don't have a driver's license or a Social Security card. Well, we can't help you. You see what I'm saying? But now, with this system here, they're able to freeze your accounts automatically from a push of a button. One company called another company and said, well, he owes me money. Well, we'll go ahead and debit it from his account. There's nothing he can do about it because he's fearful of us cutting off his chip. Now, keep in mind, if you all got questions, just go ahead and raise your hand, and I'll recognize these questions, and I'll go ahead and we can get some answers to these questions. But we're going into a very, very important segment now, and we want to look at the health implications of this thing.
Implantable human chips. Supporters hail the technology as a medical marvel, but critics warn that the potential risks are real.
Well, they talked about, for example, electrical hazards. This thing is by no means inert. The way it works is it actually picks up and amplifies ambient electromagnetic energy from the reader devices. And if you have one of these things in your arm and you get within range of a powerful electromagnetic field, it can actually burn you.
Oh, and by the way, it can kill you if you get out of line. A closer look at the who and the why behind this idea.
All right, this next story may sound like something out of, a Hollywood thriller. A Saudi inventor has created a killer microchip. It's designed to track terrorists and criminals and, well, you can think of somebody. Not only does it include a GPS device, it also has a lethal dose of cyanide, which can be activated at any time. You get my point? The inventor's bid for a patent has been rejected in Germany. Joining us now this morning to talk about it, Jake Ward, deputy editor of Popular Science. Okay, this is pretty macabre, pretty sinister and nefarious. How exactly would this work?
Well, there's a category of technology that involves GPS tracking systems being shrunk down to the size where you could actually implant it surgically. And we've seen a number of applications for this. This is without question the most sinister version of it that I've certainly heard of. And the notion of tracking criminals is not new, but the notion of killing them remotely, I think, is a whole new thing.
Yeah, and Germany says, look, we're not going to approve this.
That's right.
For that very purpose. And apparently, in some of the paperwork and applying for the patent, you know, you could track fugitives from justice, terrorists, illegal immigrants, criminals, political opponents, defectors, and Saudi Arabians who don't return home from pilgrimage. It's a little bit wild.
I agree. I mean, the thing about this kind of patent is Germany has very tight laws about making sure that you're not registering something that really is just a bad idea, a scary idea. And in this case, this guy obviously has some very strong feelings about what it would be used for, but it just seems a little outlandish.
Yeah, well, terrorist groups might be interested. I'm sure they'd be happy to grant their own form of a patent for that.
Sure.
The bigger world, though, of GPS, talk to us about how it's being used to, for example, track sex offenders.
Sure. The Washington State Legislature right now is considering the possibility of registering perhaps 100 sex offenders with a GPS chip that's implanted in their shoulder because they found that a few of them have been wearing them on their wrists and then have cut them off, which just defeats the purpose. And so, but the larger world of this technology is actually pretty happy stuff. I mean, there is new technology for tracking Alzheimer's patients, you know, who
right,
may have gotten
lost. Wander away.
Right. Right.
Sure.
Tracking the vital signs of professional athletes from the sideline. There's been a couple
really?
Of cases in which, you know, football players have collapsed of heat exhaustion, and seeing the early warning signs of that, there's technology that sort of allows you to do that remotely. Even something as benign as keeping track of your dog, you know, a radio frequency tag implanted in your pet, the vet, you know, finds a stray, scans it, and finds its rightful owner in an instant.
Yeah. Do you see an explosion of the use of GPS devices, and obviously a lot of people are concerned about an intrusion of privacy?
Absolutely, sure. I mean, I think that there is a trade-off there, and obviously the inventor who filed for this patent has gone across the line in terms of privacy.
Yeah.
The use of GPS in the future will allow you to, you know, you'll never lose your wallet again. You'll never lose your keys again.
Right.
It's that kind of stuff where you're gonna, you know, you'll be able to beep any object you own, you know, and find it in the house. And so, there's the vicious expression, and then there's the really, really helpful expression that I think we'll see in the future.
You know, I lose socks in the dryer. I don't know how that happens. Maybe that would help me in that regard. Jake Ward, deputy editor of Popular Science. Interesting stuff. Thanks very much.
I've got my little buddy's microchip.
Do you really? Yeah.
I do. Just in case they get away, and then you bring them and you take them to like the checkout counter at the grocery store, and you scan them, and then they say, "I belong to Megyn Kelly."
That is very cool. Yeah.
All right. This is actually not a joking matter. And what we're going to do now, we're going to go into a 38-minute segment. If you have any questions, now's the time to raise your hand, and I'll go ahead and recognize them, and I can answer your questions for you. But if not, then we're going into the segment, and we're going to find out exactly how dangerous this thing is and how much invasive it is and intrusive it is into your privacy. And when you go out into the stores and different places, okay? So if you all would just sit still, and we'll roll with this right here, and I'll get this info out there to
you.
Wow,
what's he doing there, you might be asking? I've got a broadcast panel that I'm on tomorrow morning here in Minneapolis, St. Paul. It's called a conclave, and aspiring broadcasters, current broadcasters are all going to be there. So that's what I'm going to do, and then I'll head back on a plane, and we'll do the show out of the cave in St. Louis on our Thursday night program. Catherine Albrecht with us. We're going to talk about chips next. Would you get chipped if they forced you to do it, or would you walk away from it? Let's talk about that later. Catherine Albrecht with us. Catherine, any new information on trying to compel us to take chips, getting them implanted in our systems?
Yeah, we've got a couple of not-so-good developments happening on the chipping front. There is probably the thing that's making me lose sleep right now. Macy's and Bloomingdale's, a multi-billion-dollar corporation with 850 stores around the U.S., has announced that, quote, we believe now is the right time to roll out RFID aggressively. That is from a press release. Tom Cole, their chief administrative officer of Macy's, Inc., came out and said that they believe it's time to aggressively begin placing RFID spy chips on shoes and clothing being sold at Macy's stores around the country. They're going to be starting at the flagship Herald Square Macy's store in Manhattan, right there in New York City, with, get this, 300,000 pairs of shoes that will be RFID.
300,000?
I know, that's nearly a million shoes. It's mind-blowing. They're going to have a shoe department in that Macy's, which they're redesigning, which will be as big as 25 of my house.
Wow. All right, what's the reason for RFID originally? What did they want to do, track inventory?
Yeah, they want to be able to tell individually in real time exactly what is sitting on the shelf. And the problem, of course, with this is that in order to be able to tell in real time exactly what's sitting on a shelf, you have to put a tracking device into each individual item. And when you put a tracking device into an item like shoes, and then you send people out of the store with these items, then the people become trackable far away from the shoe shelf, then it becomes the person tracking devices. And as we detailed in our book Spy Chips, which we first released on this very show back in 2006.
Remember that. Yep.
IBM actually has a patent for something they call the person tracking unit. And the plan for the person tracking unit is that they would place hidden RFID readers in the walls and floors and ceiling tiles and doorways of every public place there is, museums, theaters, libraries, bus stations, train stations, you name it, so that everywhere you go, there would be RFID readers, you know, potentially in the floor. And as you step on the RFID reader with the unique ID number in your shoe that you bought at Macy's, then the shoe, even if it's, you know, 1,000 miles away from where you bought it, reads that unique ID number. And the thing about RFID is each individual pair of shoes would have a different number from every other pair of shoes. And when you pay for that pair of shoes at Macy's and they scan it at the check stand, and I'm still in talks with Macy's to try to get all of the details. They've been a little reluctant to give us the full scoop on exactly how they're going to be doing this. But as they scan that pair of shoes and you pay for it with a credit card and you identify yourself and they get unique ID number 308247 is in the right shoe, then that goes into the database, which the RFID folks call the Internet of Things. And see, this is where it ties in with this global brain of Google. You better believe Google's going to be a big part of this when it comes together.
This is amazing.
It's mind-blowing because what it means, George, see, what Google does now is Google has a dossier of information on each of us individually. And what this will do is instead of having a page of information on a website, for example, about us, this will create a page of information about every physical object on the planet. You know, they've got enough unique ID numbers to uniquely number every grain of sand on Earth with a different number and no duplicates. So their plan is to place one of these instead of a barcode or in addition to a barcode on every physical object on Earth. That's trillions of items that would all be tagged. And the system is big enough to accommodate that with these tiny chips the size of a speck of dust. I mean, these things are so incredibly small now.
They used to be a grain of rice, right?
Yeah. Well, the grain of rice is the implantable one because you need it to be big enough.
Okay, and we'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into that next. That's like it's a whole other thing.
That's the next one.
The RFID microchips that they're putting on the consumer products in the Macy's stores starting in August are hooked up to miniature antennas, so they can transmit their information at a distance of a couple of feet. And so if you shop at Macy's, and I strongly recommend that you don't, and same with Bloomingdale's also, when you shop there and you buy these items and then you leave the store, you now run the risk of being scanned elsewhere. And this is not just a theoretical concern. Right now, the border crossings, here's where this starts tying in and becoming really creepy. You know, you could play the horror movie music now. The system that they're using to tag consumer products is the same system that they're using at border crossings in e-passports and in enhanced driver's licenses.
Same thing.
Now, it is the same thing. And this is despite even every privacy advocate commented and spoke out against this because we thought it was a terrible idea to put item tracking RFID into driver's licenses and passports. We said it was just the worst thing you could ever do. And not only that, but the RFID industry itself, all of their experts spoke up and said, State Department, you guys are out of your minds. Why would you choose such an insecure technology as the product code RFID, which is meant to be maximally trackable? You know, it's made for warehouses so that you can tell where everything is all the time. Why would you want to take that RFID standard and put it into identity documents like passports and driver's licenses? That's going to make everybody carrying those things trackable right through their purses and wallets from across the street. And not only that, but George, here's where this gets even creepier. If you have an e-passport or an enhanced driver's license. And right now, nobody would have one unless they requested it. So this is not in everybody's driver's license. You have to ask for a special border crossing driver's license in border states. But if you have one in your wallet and you walk into a Macy's store starting next month, Macy's will be able to read your driver's license through your purse, through your wallet, through your pocket, through your backpack as you stand in front of the shoe shelf.
And so they'll know who you are before you even buy anything.
Well, what they'll have, they'll get your unique Internet of Things ID number. And they're making the argument that, well, all we'll have is a number. And I say, well, if numbers were so safe, then why don't we just wear our Social Security numbers across the front of our T-shirts? You know, your number is your ID. Especially for the computer. The computer would rather have your number than your name.
Believe me, because
it's easier to look it up.
Okay, what about people who say, I'm not going to shop there. You basically are going to boycott them. What about people who say, I'm not going to shop there. I'm not going to buy their shoes.
Will they then change? I'm actually in talks with Macy's right now, and they have promised to get back to me. I was trying to get information from them before today's show. They have promised to get back to me by close of business tomorrow with a full accounting of exactly how they're going to label these things, how removable they'll be, whether you can disable them, and possibly even whether we can stop this from happening altogether, because it will be the biggest item-level RFID rollout anywhere on the globe.
And let me ask you this. Why do they even have to do this?
They want... When you have a global supply chain where everything's coming in from China and Indonesia and all over the world, and you become so huge that you have 850 stores and billions of items of inventory, then you run into a problem of how do you manage all that stuff? And RFID holds out this tantalizing promise that it can be kind of like the Google of the physical world. So you say, where is that pair of size 8 Jimmy Choo's, because Macy's is a pretty expensive store, where's that $800 pair of shoes? And the computer instantly says, it's on the third floor in the second shelf on the left. Or
on store number 227.
Or it could say, well, last time we saw it, it was on Catherine Albrecht's right foot walking onto the train station in Connecticut. So
it could be that accurate.
Absolutely. And this person tracking unit that IBM has patented, you know, this is the dirty little secret of the RFID industry that they don't want you to know. But IBM went into considerable detail. All of this is in our book, Spy Chips, which if people didn't read it in 2006, they should read it today because it's more relevant today than when we wrote it. We got accused of being like pie in the sky, you're before your time, this will never happen. Well, it's all happening
exactly. Sky is falling. Yeah.
Exactly the way we said in the book, because we didn't make it up. We said they told us what they were going to do in these 30,000 documents we reviewed. We just wrote it all down, and now they're doing it. So the person tracking unit, this idea is that every physical object that passes through doorways and floors and anywhere will be tracked. So as you walk through a doorway in the future, they'll know the size of your underwear, how old your jeans are. They'll know everything in your pocket. They'll know all the places that you've been because they'll be able to tell all the other places that those things were recently seen. It's mind-blowing. They'll know who you walked into the restaurant with or who you sat with or when you went to the bathroom because it's all going to be trackable through these physical objects. And when I said that when you wear these shoes, you're going to be interacting with the government, when you cross the border now, right now today in 2012, into Mexico or Canada, as you approach the border station, there are powerful RFID readers aimed at your car that can pick up all of these EPC tags on you.
Are they in your passports right now?
They are in the ones in the booklet passports. We fought and we got a better standard in those. Those are encrypted, and we were talking about encryption with Start Page in the last segment. So those are encrypted, and they can't just be randomly read by anybody, and they have a short read range of only a couple of inches. Where the problem comes up is the e-passports, which it looks like a driver's license. It's a passport on a card. Those e-passports and also the things called enhanced driver's licenses. Everybody listening, if you live in a border state, you know, Michigan, Washington, Arizona,
Texas,
all the border states, New York,
Arizona.
You live in a border state, and you go in to renew your driver's license, they will give you an option, and it'll sound really great. They'll say, hey, listen, if you check this box and pay a couple extra bucks, we will make your driver's license a dual passport driver's license that you can use to get over the border into Canada or Mexico.
Or any place else? Or just those two spots?
Or the Caribbean. So it's just for the local.
You can't go to Paris.
No. It's the Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative, WHTI, if people want to Start Page it. It is the local, you know, what used to only require a driver's license a couple years ago.
Right.
So now it requires a passport. But passports are expensive. They're like, I don't know, $75, and you have to apply and get a special passport photo, and it's a pain. So now what they've offered to people is your driver's license can double as your passport, but there's just one little catch. There's a microchip, RFID spy chip, in the passport that can be read through a hotel wall. I know, because I actually got a reader and I did it. I actually read an enhanced driver's license through a wall with my reader. So they can be read through walls. They can be read through your purse, your pocket, et cetera. And because they chose to use the product tracking standard on them, they're cross-compatible, which means Macy's can read your driver's license, and it means that the border crossing station can read your shoes that you bought at Macy's.
That's
so amazing. As you approach the border station, they have these powerful RFID readers aimed at the cars, and the idea is that if you have one of these passport cards, you're supposed to put it on the dashboard of your car in the windshield as you drive up, and when you get there, they've already got all your information on the screen because they read you at a distance through the little chip in the card. If you're doing that, they are also capable of reading all of the RFID-tagged objects that you're wearing and carrying in the car, like your Macy's shoes, if Macy's actually does this. So if people want to stop this, we stopped it for 10 years, and your listeners played a huge role in doing that, George. We put the brakes on this industry back in 2003, and I announced it on this radio program when we boycotted Benetton, because they were planning on putting RFID tags into women's underwear.
I remember that. You jumped on that one.
We jumped on it, and we got it stopped for 10 years. You can go to Benetton's website, the big international clothing company, and still to this day, there is a statement on their website about RFID saying, we have looked at it, we decided not to use it. To this day, 10 years later.
And you know what? They're still functioning, aren't they?
Well, Benetton's still doing just fine, believe me. And they're selling clothes in over 100 countries around the world, and they're doing fine without it. So now Macy's and Bloomingdale. And, you know, this sentence, we believe now is the right time to roll out RFID aggressively. I like to be humble, but I really think that they think now is the time to do this, George, because they think I'm sidelined with cancer and I can't fight back.
Oh, my gosh. You really think so?
I do.
Wow.
Because, see, when the industry got together the year before I got cancer, they had a big meeting in New York City at the Fashion Institute of Design. And we went down there and protested them and held up signs that said RFID in clothing equals boycott. And every single one of those clothing companies, every single one of the Bloomingdales and all the people, we talked to all of them. They all walked past our picket, and they all looked at us in fear and said, well, we won't do that. And then I got cancer and got knocked out of the race for about 18 months while I had to focus on surviving. And that is when they made this choice to aggressively roll out RFID. So I really would like, I mean, if when we get these answers back, and I'm going to post the answers on my blog so people can go there. It's probably the easiest way, kmashow.com, and also spychips.com, and people can sign up for the mailing list too. I'll send this out via email. But if they go there, I'm going to post tomorrow Macy's complete response by 5 p.m. and let you guys know exactly how Macy's is going to do this. And if they plan on embedding the RFID tags in the shoes, or if they don't have a mechanism for removing the RFID tags or disabling the RFID tags before you leave the store with them, then I believe we're going to have to do what we did with Benetton and make a big, you know, a press release and get the media involved and go out there before they do this, because they're planning this for next month. It's a big rollout. 300,000 pairs of shoes. Can you imagine?
Any other stores doing this or just them?
Well, they're the big player right now. I think they're sort of the primary focus. We know that Walmart has been experimenting with this, and that's why I won't shop at Walmart. Walmart almost single-handedly drove the adoption of RFID over the last couple of years. In 2005, they told all their suppliers that they had to invest in the technology. And so RFID has now become, you know, this enormous, enormous business force to be reckoned with. I was just looking at some of the numbers today and could not believe how many billions of dollars now this industry is. And a lot of that comes from Walmart. Today, if you walk into a number of Walmart stores and you stand in the underwear aisle of all places, they can read your driver's license. So I'd say probably Walmart and Macy's are the two big offenders.
I don't think I'd be standing in the aisle of the underwear section.
Well, you know,
standing there?
It's underwear, it's socks. I went into
arrested.
Well, it's not only just standing there, it's literally just walking past. And it's not even that they want to read your driver's license, it's that the technology can't help it. Because the way RFID works is the shelf, and this gets into a whole health issue. You know, people talk about smart meters and RFID radiation. The employees in Macy's should be up in arms boycotting this themselves. They should go on strike. Because once they put this stuff into the environment, into the cash registers and the doorways, then those people will be bombarded all day long with radio frequency radiation. We know from research that's been done over in Europe and from some documents that we found from the RFID industry that there are some serious health concerns. There's actually a belief that this may unzip DNA, that it actually may cause knockouts, you know, pieces of DNA to be knocked out if you have too much exposure to it, especially your reproductive organs.
All right. Stay with us, Catherine. We're going to take this quick break, come back, and I want to talk about RFID chips on people. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, we'll take your phone calls with Catherine Albrecht as we talk about privacy issues. And also, maybe you can share one of your stories, how you think your privacy has been breached. We'll be back with more on Coast to Coast AM. What's new in the world of chipping people, Catherine? And tell me about this Coachella Music Festival. What happened?
Oh, my goodness, George. Well, a couple of months ago in California, this was actually in April, the Coachella Music Festival, 160,000 people attended this event. Now, you know, that would be pretty unremarkable. It's kind of the modern Woodstock, and they're doing a lot of these, except for one thing. In order to get into the event, you had to have an RFID spy chip in a wristband that had to be on your right hand, all in capitals, underlined, right hand only. If you put it on your left hand, you couldn't get in. And not only that, and that's significant, by the way, because in the Bible, of course, the mark of the beast is on your right hand, or your forehead if you don't have hands, but not on your left hand. No, so this Coachella Music Festival, you paid in advance with a credit card. They mailed you in the mail an RFID chip in a handy-dandy little wristband that you could put right on your right hand. And then to get to the festival, which is held miles from anything in the middle of nowhere in California, you drive up to the festival, and they had a police perimeter. They actually got the local police of that area to put up roadblocks. And a mile from the festival, the roadblocks would stop you. The police, the authorities, would force you to roll down your window, and every member of the car had to put their right hand out of the car so that the authorities could verify that they had their microchip on their right wrist. And when they got to the event, and I have this, by the way, on my blog. I posted the YouTube video of this at kmashow.com. Just click on blog and you can see it. The most disturbing image, George, because it is thousands of young people between the ages of probably 15 and 28, 30. And they're all taking their right hand to walk into the festival. And instead of showing a ticket, they're taking their right hand and they're pressing it against a circle with a picture of a right hand on it, one after the other. And you see them walking through, beep, 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 all of them right hand, beep, 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 to get into this music festival.
All right, what was the reason for that? For speed? What?
Speed and security to make sure that nobody crashed the festival. There's a really creepy picture of the police. That's actually from their website of the police scanning these things in people's cars and them having to put their hand out. Check it out. It's a parody that I would have paid somebody to draw, but they put it on their website themselves. You know, it's their own marketing stuff. It's totally bizarre. But
now, did these 160,000 young people, did they think this was cool?
They did. And in fact, not only did they think it was cool, you can find videos of the excitement as they unwrap these RFID-tagged wristbands and put them on. And there are even people who say, I didn't take mine off for a month because I wanted to relive the experience of Coachella, so I kept my wristband on and I showered in it and I slept in it. There was not, George, here's the part that really disturbs me the most, not one mention anywhere on the entire Internet of anything having to do with the mark of the beast, anything having to do with any biblical prophecy that ties in with this. So 160,000 young people who went off to listen to hip-hop and rock.
Yeah, they had a great time.
They did. And, you know, the modern Woodstock. And you see them out in the sun, and they look like they're having a ball, but they're not even aware that this poses any kind of a problem. Not even aware of it to the point of dismissing it or laughing at it or writing it off. It just didn't even come up. So, you know, it feels like the 18 months that I've kind of been out of the out of the game here. You know, had I been on my toes there instead of in the chemo center getting cancer treatment, I would have been out there in Coachella holding up a sign at least by the side of the road. Get out your Bible.
Even if you were by yourself, right?
Even if it was just me, you know, I just 160,000 people, and now, since Coachella has done it, now you've got the Bamboozle Music Festival. What a great name. You've got all of these music festivals now deploying the same technology, so it's becoming the standard. And I am guessing that by the end of the year, we will have seen more than 1 million people place an RFID chip on their right hand in order to access a music venue.
Or anything.
Or anything. Well,
or anything.
That's really where it becomes disturbing, because the RFID chips that they're putting in the wristband are also converging with cell phones. It's called NFC, near field communication, and you have publications like Forbes saying, oh, cash is over, it's the death of cash, because everybody's going to pay with their cell phones. And the microchip that you put in the wristband or in the cell phone is essentially the same technology that you put into the microchip implant that you can inject directly into people. So we're getting so close to the convergence of this. And the part that just, you know, again, really is disturbing to me is 20, 30, 40 years ago, a couple of generations ago, 100 years ago, people all knew what the mark of the beast was. And nowadays, you so much as say those words and people roll their eyes and they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, whatever. You can't even talk about it from the pulpits anymore. You know, parents don't talk to their kids about it anymore. So I think it's really time, as we get closer to the technology, we're discussing it less and less. And I think it really is time for us to say, hey, you know what? It's time to dust off the Bible. Go to that last chapter in the Bible, Revelation. Go to chapter 13. It's easy to remember because it's an unlucky number. Go to the last three verses in chapter 13 of Revelation, and you will read right there. It says, there will be a time when all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and bond or imprisoned or enslaved, will be forced to have a number or a mark on their right hand or their forehead without which they cannot buy or sell. And we, you know, when that was written 2,000 years ago, George, there's no possible way that the Apostle John, in exile, an old man on an island off the coast of Greece, a scrappy goat-herding island, could have possibly seen the developments that are happening today with smartphones, with the Internet, with the web or the net. And it's no mistake that it's called a web. There's no mistake it's called a net. You know, these are words that entail tracking, trapping, you know, victims being ensnared. We have satellites now that are circling the sky. We have drones flying in the sky. All of it is coming together and converging exactly the way it was spelled out in the book of Revelation. And I've got something on my wall. Can I share this with you, George?
Yeah.
This is from Jennifer. And if she's listening out there, I want to say God bless Jennifer, because I printed something out that has seen me through some pretty rough times this last year and a half with cancer. Here's what she wrote. Thank you so much for your important work on this matter. I first heard you on Coast to Coast AM, and because of what you said about the chips, I read the book of Revelation and made the decision to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I also made a personal vow that no matter what happens in this world, I will not allow myself or my family to be microchipped, because I believe, like you, that this is the mark of the beast. God bless you and keep up the amazing work. Yours, Jennifer.
Hmm.
That's a Coast listener.
Not bad.
Made my day.
Not bad.
Made it all worthwhile.
What's going on with RFID tracking of school kids?
San Antonio. See, I wish I could just go multiple. I wish I could, like, multiply my time so I could be everywhere.
You can't be.
I'm trying, and maybe listeners can jump in and help me out here, because we've got to boycott Macy's. We got to get down there to the Herald Square store. And the other place we've got to get is San Antonio, Texas, when school begins in late August, early September, because San Antonio is going to be tagging a couple hundred thousand school kids with RFID in their IDs and putting the reader devices to scan them all day long in the doorways of their classrooms, of the bathrooms, at the sinks, in the buses. Every place they go, these kids are going to be getting trained that having an RFID tracking microchip in a plastic card that they're required to carry or wear around their necks is normal. And once you train a couple hundred thousand kids in San Antonio that this is absolutely normal, then when they get to be adults and people say, well, we want to put this RFID in a wristband, it's a no-brainer. And then when they say, well, we need to track to scan you to get into the Macy's or cross the border, it's a no-brainer. And these kids are not going to know to object. And the reason I think, you know, once again, you can always figure out why they pick the targets that they do. When I looked into the school district in San Antonio where they are rolling this out this September, it is a district in which the vast majority of the parents of the kids do not speak English. So not only are they not in a position to even understand what's being done to their children.
They have no idea what's going on.
Even if they did understand it, they don't have the political clout and the ability to organize and reach out to the media in order to put a stop to it. So, you know, if they get away with it, and see, this is the thing. It's just like if you – I like to cook. And if you ever bring home something from the store and it's got bugs in it, and you don't do anything about it, then before you know it, there's going to be bugs in every cupboard, and you're going to have to throw out the whole kitchen. So when you see bugs, you got to stop, drop everything, clean up, and get rid of them. The same thing is true with RFID. If we don't stop Macy's, because the entire industry now is watching Macy's to see what they're going to do in August and how the public will respond to that. And if we don't stop them, if we let them do it, then all the other stores that have been afraid of consumer reaction are going to say, oh, well, consumers didn't do anything, so let's roll out our own RFID. And then by the time you realize it, it'll be too late to stop it because it'll be everywhere. The same is true with the school kids. If we let them do this in San Antonio to the people who can't object, and if we don't stand up for them, then the next thing you know, this is going to be in every school in America, and by that point, it's going to be too big to stop. So you have to stop these things when they're small. You've got to get rid. You have to uproot the weeds before they take over your whole garden.
Why do you think chips might be the sign of the beast?
Well, I actually don't know if they will be, George. People will often say to me, oh, Catherine, you know, you would have been opposing, you know, back in the 30s, you would have been opposing the Social Security number. Back in the 70s and 80s, you would have been opposing the barcode. Come on. People said that was also the mark of the beast. And my response to that is we don't know what the mark of the beast is going to be. The Bible says that we won't know until it gets here, that this is going to be a mystery to everybody until it's here, and then everybody will see it and everybody will know it. And we're not there yet. We're so close because we now not only have the ability to do it, but we're building the infrastructure to make it very easy to do. Back in the 1930s, I would have been among the people protesting the Social Security number, not because it itself is the mark of the beast, but because it paves the way for the next step. And the same also with the barcode. I would have been opposing the barcode because the barcode is what enabled physical objects to become easy to put into computers, and that's all part of the system. And now RFID is one of the ways, one of a number of ways, that people can become scannable and placed into a system. So if it isn't RFID, I will say this, RFID is certainly a step along the road towards it. And I've given this analogy before on this show, and I think it bears repeating. If I'm in California and I don't want to wind up in New York, and I'm on a train, and every single stop is putting me closer on a straight line to New York, I don't have to actually reach New York before I realize I better get off the darn train because I can see where it's going. And so each of these technologies is a stop closer to that ultimate endpoint of the mark of the beast. And one of the things we know from the Bible is that as we get closer to this time, Satan, the enemy, the beast, will realize that his time is short, and he's going to start speeding up. And this, I believe, is the reason why we're seeing, like, weird things, like people eating other people. And
oh, like, everything's weird lately.
It feels like the evil on the planet has accelerated or quickened, as they say. And that is something that is absolutely part of what we're told prophetically will be happening at this time. Things, the good will get better and the bad will get worse. There will be a parting of what the Bible refers to as the sheep and the goats, the people that the Lord's going to put on his left hand and his right hand.
The divide will get bigger.
It will, and we've got to make those choices because, if you know, people have so much chaos in their lives right now, and I would argue that a large amount of that chaos is because they're being fought over in a spiritual realm. You know, if your life seems like it's just upside down and turning all around and spinning and you just can't get it under control, it's probably because you have not taken a stand and chosen a team, and you're being fought over. There's a war going on all around us. You know, we're not battling the people at Macy's. You know, yeah, we need to battle them, but that's not really where the battle is. The battle is a spiritual battle, and the only way that you can lift yourself up out of that fray is by choosing the winning team and choosing to fight for that winning team and fight for good. So in the same way that, you know, you've got Lady Gaga now, what's her new song, Princess Die, D-I-E, and it's all about suicide. You know, the kinds of people that are being held up for us to idolize in our popular culture are all sending us a message of death and destruction. You know, Madonna recently opened her concert in the Holy Land, getting up and saying, you know, splattering people's brains on the screen behind her and carrying around AK-47s and talking about blowing out her lover's brains. And then said, I'm doing this because peace is so important. you don't get peace by blowing people's brains out. But you're going to see more of that, more open and overt kinds of ceremonies like what happened at the Super Bowl when Madonna got up there and performed, you know, practically a black mass, or Nicki Minaj doing that public exorcism and claiming that she's possessed. You know, the spiritual elements of this are going to become so obvious that you cannot miss them. And well, as that happens, you know, as Isaiah says in the Bible, we, God's people, have to rise and shine because our light has come, and the glory of the Lord will shine upon us and through us, and nations will come to us. And that's really the key. People will see who the good people are and turn to them and say, hey, I want a little bit of what you've got. And the answer to that has always got to be, the only way you're going to save yourself from the sinking ship of the Titanic is hopping into that lifeboat of Jesus Christ, because that's it.
Well, you're talking end times. You're talking apocalypse now,
yeah.
Aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. It's all in the Bible. See, back in the 1940s, when Israel was reconstituted as a nation, you know, that was the real wake-up call that we are in those times that are discussed in the Bible.
The clock has started.
Yes, because over 1,000 years, people were waiting. Well, Israel will never come back together. They're scattered all over the world. And now, look, they're being killed by the Nazis and persecuted and hunted down. It'll never happen. And then...
Okay, Moses, that brings us to the close of the first hour. If you all have any questions, go ahead and raise your hands. What I would like to recommend for you all to do is, step one, go to the website moorishamericangov.org and go ahead and register, put your information in, a little short registration form. That places your information on the census for an existing government other than the United States. People inside the United States have to realize that the Negroes, colored, blacks, African Americans, Afro-Americans and everything else was manufactured right here in the United States. You have never been a citizen of the United States of America. You are not now, and neither can you ever be. There is no corporation, which the United States is, on the face of the earth that can make you a citizen of a government. So, therefore, go ahead and sign up for the Moorish American government, and you will be a citizen of that government. Also, dial into the national conference call that's held daily at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at the following number, 760-569-7100. The access code is 437-966, and press the pound key. That's 760-569-7100. Access code 437-966 pound, and you'll be able to dial in there on Wednesday evenings. The Grand National Chairman of the Moorish American Government is teaching there, and there's question and answers periods that you can ask questions if you got any. I'll make your comments or what have you right there. Also, it is very, very important for you to contact me at area code 904-303-9061 in regards to getting a hold to the library. There's tons of information in there that will aid you in avoiding this situation and being able to live your life successfully. Common sense will tell me, for those of you who like to shop, I would go ahead and start purchasing everything that I need to know now. Those old shoes that you have, don't throw them out. They don't have a chip in them, so therefore you get my drill. Okay, now we're going into the next segment, and then we're going to come back to part two of what you just heard. Okay, so hold tight.
You also talk about the mark of the beast. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that. Why?
Another article. Amazing. I mean, this stuff comes in like every other day. I'm getting another piece of the puzzle, so to speak, that tightens it up. Sources from inside the 2008 Bilderberger meeting have leaked the details of what elitists were discussing in Virginia last week. And the talking points were ominous. A plan to microchip Americans under the pretext of fighting terrorist groups, which will be identified as blonde-haired, blue-eyed Westerners. So here's the deal. We know about Digital Angel, okay? Is that the mark of the beast right now? I would say no. Not the mark of the beast. Could it be the mark of the beast later on?
Yes.
In my opinion, it could be. It fits the description where we're no longer able to buy, sell, or trade. Remember, I mean, what's bizarre about this prophecy, this thing is 2,000 years old. It's so flippant specific. And 100 years ago, you'd look at that. This is why people couldn't understand it. You know, and it says these books were closed until the end time.
So what do you think the event will be, Lynn, to get us all chipped? I'm not going to do it. You're not going to do it. But they're going to try to chip us all.
Yeah, they will.
What will they say to trick us? Will they say terrorism, that we need to identify you so you're safe, you're protected, so you can buy, so you can get on a plane. We need to chip you.
Well, that's what this article talks about. It talks about blonde hair, blue-eyed Westerners, you know, basically Al-Qaeda operatives. In Politics, Prophecy, and Supernatural, I outline a scenario which has been researched, and that is that we've got 2 to 20 suitcase nukes, they being Al-Qaeda, terrorists, Iranians, who knows, between 2 and 20 suitcase nukes already in the country that's embedded. And when these things go off, it'll be a coordinated attack. At the same time they hit Israel, they'll hit us. Could be wrong in that. It's a scenario. But it's based on some pretty interesting, you know, facts and talking to other people and reading other resource material. They seem to be here. I remember a couple of Christmases ago, and some of your listeners might remember this. It was like 2 or 3 Christmases ago. There was this big, you know, most of the news media carried it. They found these huge tunnels at the Mexico-U.S. border. They were so large that you could drive a truck through them. And this, of course, my source actually was a friend of mine who had the source. He couldn't divulge the source. He told me that they actually intercepted a live nuke. Now, I can't prove that, but what I did find interesting was this is an awful ambitious smuggling tunnel, you know, with this. I mean, you could drive a pickup truck through this thing. And they apparently intercepted a live nuke that came up to the southern border. Whether or not that's true or not, the government's certainly not going to tell us that. That would cause mass panic. But I do know this. Some sort of an event like 20 Katrina's happening in this on U.S. soil, God forbid, 5 to 10 dirty bombs going off, people would line up and get chipped overnight because they would want their security. So, I mean, again, and here's the deal. What force is really pushing this agenda? You know, people, you know, say, well, it's the Bilderbergers, it's the Masons, it's this, it's the CFR, it's the Trilateralists. I mean, they go on and on.
The Illuminati. They may be.
And all that's part of it. But in my opinion, there's an overriding force that pushes all that. They're all parts of the same, you know, they're all tentacles of the same body. And it's a Luciferian agenda. It's very precise where this thing is going. One world government, one world religious system. Everyone will get chipped. I mean, here's this article. It's like, I remember a friend of mine. I asked him, this is like 20 years ago. And I said, well, what's your opinion on the Mark of the Beast thing? I mean, you think this can happen with this computer chip thing? He looked at me and said, it's absolutely impossible. There's no way they're ever going to have anything like that. The technology, we're centuries away from that. Here it is.
It's already here.
It's already here. Digital angels got it. People have been chipped. It's there. It works. You know, you can get scanned. And, I mean, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Look how wrong he was, huh?
There you go. There you go. And it's to me, it's like, It's very sobering because you see this stuff happening. You watch the you know, our economy melting down, the housing crisis, the stock market. I mean, it's so multifaceted. There's so much going on the planet. It just seems like we're getting ripe. It's building towards something. It's accelerating towards something. I mean, the floods. What are they saying? The 500-year flood now in Iowa along the Mississippi. First, it was the 100-year flood. Now it's the 500-year flood. Here in California, we're in the. It's either the 100-year or the 200-year drought. I mean, it just, you know, is this normal? Are we looking at just, you know, weather patterns which are cyclical, which because we haven't explored it enough, we don't know, so we look at these as anomalies? Or are we actually looking, as the article I read in the first part, first half hour, the idea that natural disasters are up 400%? Is that really an anomaly? Is that something we can look at and go, that's off the charts, folks? I can't. You know, something's going on here. I need to pay attention. Does it coincide with these thousand-year-old, you know, texts, some of them which we've talked about tonight? In my opinion, it does. And this is why, thank you for having me on the show so I can at least give the information out and let people make up their own minds.
You remember the movie Network? Howard Beale, played by Peter Finch. Remember, he was that anchor man who somehow
he loses it, right?
He loses it, but his ratings go through the roof the more he loses it. It is one of the favorite lines, Lynn, I use on this program every once in a while when we just sound off, is, leave me alone. Give me my television. Just let me stay in my apartment. Leave me alone. Wow. Leave me alone. That's what's starting to happen now with the housing crunch and the gasoline prices where people aren't going anywhere anymore. People just want to be left alone. And then they come in with, okay, we're going to have to chip you now. And people will bow down. They'll say, please, just leave me alone.
Just leave me alone. Give me my TV dinners, my TV, my entertainment. And you know, when you really look at our media, it's like, you know, the earthquakes hit in China, and then it falls off the radar. It's now been like 3 weeks. It's not news
anymore.
Gone.
It's
yeah,
gone.
We don't care. Miramar, same thing, 120,000 people. Well, you know, that's good. We'll have World Vision clean it up. I mean, the place is a total disaster. Even Katrina, you know, much of the city is still in ruin. And yet, what do we see constantly? The antics of Paris and Brittany and OJ and the whole crew. Anything to keep us distracted. Anything to keep, in my opinion, the people asleep. And yet, we see this. You know, when I get an article like this talking about, you know, the chips, and look, I'm not there at the Bilderberger meeting. I have no idea whether this is true or not, but I find it very interesting because I know the technology is there. I'm aware of Digital Angel. I've been on the site. I've looked at it. I've followed this thing ever since the inception of it, with the idea of chipping the population. And I believe at one point it will be used. I mean, they will chip the world's population. You won't be able to buy, sell, or trade. And this is a prophecy in the book of Revelation written 2,000 years ago. I'm not making this stuff up, which begs the question, is the guy that's writing this stuff, it seems like he's benevolent. It seems like he's trying to warn us of something. You know, it's like he's telling us what's going to happen before it happens, very specifically not what's going to happen, that you won't be able to buy or sell. The chip will come underneath the hand or on the forehead. I mean, 100 years ago, no one, people would look at that line and just go and shrug their shoulders. They didn't have a clue. And now it's here.
Now it is here, indeed.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that was some very, very important information. If any of you have any questions or comments, you go ahead and raise your hands, and we'll try to answer them for you. It is very, very important for us to understand that this is something that is serious, and the information that I'm posting here is not being posted to make you afraid, but it is posted for you to be aware of what's going on in the country. A lot of us watch the news and the media and stuff, and there's a lot of stuff that's simply not being broadcasted to you. And I'm pretty sure there's a lot of things that's been said here this evening in great detail that's not being broadcast on television. So what we want to do is we want to receive the information and do everything that we can to make the necessary changes, and do not put off until tomorrow what you can do today. I'm going to go into the next segment now, and if you got any questions and comments, go ahead and raise your hand, and I'll go ahead and recognize that, and as soon as this little small segment is over, we will let you in.
You might want to ask yourself why the entire culture is utterly saturated with mass media entertainment from all sides, while the educational system in America continues its stupefying downward slide since the U.S. government decided to take over and subsidize the public school system.
What your government pays for, it gets. When we understand that, then we look at government-financed institutions of education and see the kind of students and the kind of education that's being turned out by these government-financed schools. Logic will tell you that if what is being turned out in those schools was not in accord with what the state and the federal government wanted, then it would change it.
The Patriot Act, Homeland Security, the Military Tribunals Act, and other legislations are all completely and entirely designed to destroy your civil liberties and limit your ability to fight back against what is coming.
To think something so small can connect you to everything that matters.
When your life and all you love
are on the line.
HealthLink is always with you when every second counts in the emergency room, providing immediate access to your medical records.
Because Rob has trouble remembering all his medications.
Because I'm in love with my kids' kids.
Because my car lost control while driving.
Because now, I'm looking out for both of us.
Because I have diabetes,
but it doesn't have me.
Because I spend my life in the ER trying to save yours.
Hey, what is up, YouTubers? This is Matt Larson 10, and today I'm going to touch on something that I heard about a while ago, but I didn't think it was that serious of a threat at the time because I didn't think that it would actually be implemented anytime soon, and it was more just something on the horizon that they were looking into, and that was the RFID chip. What you guys just watched at the beginning of this video was one of the first RFID commercials. They don't talk about everything that can be done with an RFID, but basically, your bank account would be linked to it, your a GPS, so they would track where you are at all time. Literally, your whole medical history is on there. Now, I can see some pluses by this. On if some random stranger is found out in the ditch and he needs medical care, sure, you just scan it real quick. But this is also a very slippery slope where the government can take over and use it in the wrong ways for tracking people illegally. There wouldn't even be a Fourth Amendment anymore. They could just search you all the time, basically, because they would be tracking you guys. It's just like the drones down in Houston, Texas. It's just not a good thing. But here's the really scary part about this. In our new Obamacare bill, by March 23rd, it is mandatory that all American citizens have this chip. Now, I'm going to read you sections of the bill that explains this. Now, section 2521, page 1000, the government will establish a National Medical Device Registry, H.R. 3200. In the healthcare bill, it's in pages 1001 to 1008. Now, Section G, Clause 1, the Secretary shall establish a National Medical Device Registry in the subsection referred to as the Registry to facilitate analysis of post-market safety and outcomes data on each device that A, is or has been in or on a patient, B, and is a Class 3 device or a Class 2 device that is implantable, life-supporting, or life-sustaining. Page 104 defines data in paragraph 1. Now, basically, now on pages 1001 to 1008, approved by the FDA, a Class 2 implantable device is an implantable radio frequency transponder system for patient identification and health information. The purpose of a Class 2 device is to collect data in medical patients such as claims data, patient survey data, standardized analytic files that allow for the pooling and analysis of data from disparate data environments, electronic health records, and any other data deemed appropriate by the secretary. That right there is enough to where it's scary. Now, on page 1006, it says this is to be enacted within 36 months upon passage. So that means as soon as the Obamacare was signed into law, 36 months later, all this stuff had to be done. So this is one thing that really no one is talking about, and it's getting very little news. I think if we spread this around, people can read a little bit farther into it, because when you have a 2,300-page bill, it's pretty hard to read everything in less than a couple of days. So now that a year has almost gone by, it's really time that we look into it, and it's just more stuff coming out of the woodwork, guys. So what do you guys think? Is this a good idea, bad idea? Personally, I don't like being tracked all the time, but that's just me. Let me know in a text or video response down below, guys. And as always, make sure you share this to friends, family. Get this out there. It's the unknown, again, but we need to make it known. It's Matt Larson 10. Go Ron Paul. Peace.
Well, President Obama taking on not only health care reform, but another controversial issue, immigration reform. And a key meeting at the White House tomorrow could be the first step toward that reform and for some very big changes for every American worker. Senators Chuck Schumer and Lindsey Graham, bipartisan that is, set to sit down with President Obama tomorrow discussing plans for a national identification card. Now, this thing is meant to crack down on illegal workers, but our next guest says it could crack down on you and your privacy. Congressman Ron Paul is a Texas Republican. He's opposed to this card. Congressman, afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Nice to be with you.
It's a great pleasure to have you. All right, so what's the problem with the National ID card? Because its proponents say this is it. This is the thing that's going to finally help us stop illegal immigrants from coming in here and taking jobs.
Well, we do have a problem with illegal immigration, but I would say the problems of every American citizen carrying their papers for wherever they go is a much worse problem than illegal immigration. Besides, you can take care of illegal immigration otherwise. But people over the decades now in this country, there have been some who have wanted this national ID card, and they're looking for every opportunity to do it. And this is it. I mean, who knows what will come of it? My guess is they'll probably have a GPS chip in there so that they can measure everybody, every instant, no matter where they go. So to me, it violates the whole principles of privacy, the principles of the Constitution, the principles of the Republic, and to me is a gross distortion of what we should be doing. It's part of an authoritarian society, and dictatorships have this, but not a republic. We're
okay,
not
but tell me how it's invasive, because what Schumer and Graham are proposing, according to what I read, is your ID card would have either your fingerprint, your thumbprint on there, or it would have a reading of the veins in the back of your hand, and you'd have to be scanned by your prospective employer, and that way, if you know, if it came up that you weren't legal, they would catch you by the scan. How does that? I mean, it's not really GPS with the government following you. How does the scan of your fingerprint bother you?
Well, someday it may do this, but why should you have to do this? And they said, well, the equipment to scan your hand or your card is going to cost about $800. And they said, well, what about somebody who might only have one or two employees and they don't want to buy the equipment? Or you can go to a government office to do this. Can you imagine if the post office takes this up and you stand in line to take your potential employee over and try to get them scanned? I mean, the whole notion of us carrying our papers and everything that we do, every job we get, it will be a national identifying card. One thing that Graham, I think, argue, well, we already have Social Security cards.
Right.
Well, I have a Social Security card that says not to be used for identification purposes. That's what the original Social Security card said.
Well, but what about a driver's license? Virtually all of us have one of those.
Yeah, but I don't have to have a driver's license to get a job. You know, I didn't have to have it to come to Congress. I didn't have to show that.
Well, what about Congressman? You know, the people who are fired up about this, yes, they recognize it would result in somewhat of a loss of civil liberties, but they're very concerned about illegal immigration. And you say there are other ways of controlling it, but we're not doing it.
Well, that's a failure of enforcing our laws. And one of the problems that we have is that we have a failed economic system that makes immigrants a threat to individuals because of our weak economy. So if we had a decent economy, we'd probably be begging for people to come in and work, because there would be, and quite frankly, a couple of years ago, I had as many people come to my office looking for immigrants to come in to work as I did people screaming and hollering because we had too many.
What do you think?
We're short.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I would want to get your thoughts on this before I let you go. What do you think the government might do to us if we all had a national ID card?
Well, they would monitor everything that we do. And surveillance, the lack of privacy, it's always for good purposes. Everything is for good, and they're going to get rid of illegal immigration. They're going to find the criminals. But they're also going to monitor every single person, every single thing they do. It's sort of this idea of, why not have cameras every place on every street corner, because we'll catch the bad guys. Well, why don't they have cameras in our house in case there's child beating or wife beating? I mean, that's when one thing leads to another. You either believe in freedom or you don't. If you think you need supervision and surveillance constantly by your government, and right now the degree of confidence and trust in our government is very, very low, to turn this additional tool over to the government, to me, should outrage the American people. And so far, the people I hear from are outraged.
So interesting to listen to your thoughts on that. The meeting happens tomorrow at the White House. The White House has taken no position on it thus far, but Graham's a Republican, Schumer's a Democrat. We'll see whether they get it through this time. Congressman Ron Paul, thank you so much for your thoughts on it.
Thank you.
Well, folks.
Okay, Morris, that was some very, very important information and some things to consider. In cities across the United States, they have gun shows, and inside these gun shows, they have a lot of electronic equipment apart from guns and ammunition, and they also have a lot of books and manuals in these gun shows too, that you could purchase to learn about scanning things that you have, including your own body, to determine whether or not there's something in there that is not natural, or some type of electronic surveillance device that's inside your home. Another good device to consider is metal detectors. When you purchase a shirt from a store and it has plastic buttons and cloth, and they're installing these chips inside this stuff, you can scan it to determine whether or not it's there. And you can also do some things involved in lawsuits as well if you don't consent to these things. And you can ask, you want to buy an automobile, and they got this tracking thing in there. Now, the GPS is something that you use to navigate with, a navigating system, but if they got something whereby they can track you, you can go ahead and get sign the documents for the vehicle, but also ask them, does this thing have an ID of a chip in it? And, of course, if they tell you no and you turn around and just let them say, well, go ahead and could you sign this for me because you said it didn't have that in there. And if they do that, then, of course, you have a lawsuit on them because you need to be in a no-consent situation, because invasion of privacy is never good. Privacy is privacy, and that belongs to you. And in my opinion, I think it's something that we all need to be concerned about, and we all need to hold on to for as long as we can, okay? Now, that's just my opinion, and there are tons of other information available for you on the Internet in order to determine whether this stuff is out there or not, or whether you got it in your house, and you can check it, check for it by certain equipment that you purchase, okay?
Well, I kind of like taking the old show on the road. It's kind of fun. Anyway, we'll be back in a moment. We'll take your phone calls now and your stories of privacy violations with Catherine Albrecht on Coast to Coast AM. Catherine, how did you get involved in all of these privacy issues? Something happened with you? What was it?
Well, you know, it ties in with this children's book that I'm working on. When I was, and I've told this story before, but I haven't quite made the total connection here, so I'll go ahead and make it tonight. Back when I was 8 years old, my grandmother told me about the mark of the beast, that there would be a time when people would not be able to buy or sell unless they had a mark on their right hand or their forehead. And she made me promise to never take the mark. And I'd never even heard of it. I had no idea. I didn't grow up in a family that, you know, went to church other than on major holidays. And as she told me that, I said, well, of course I would never do that. I mean, I couldn't even imagine how you could. I couldn't envision how you could pay with a number or a mark, or how you could have a mark on your hand. I'd never even seen a credit card. We didn't have computers. There was no Internet. There were no satellites. I mean, it was all – I mean, there might have been a satellite. I didn't know about it. So that decision that I made at the age of 8 years old in a little farmhouse in the Midwest came back to me when I was 30 years old. And I began to notice around me these developments starting to happen, like the mobile speed pass, for example. You know, the idea of waving a little fob off your keychain at the cash register to make a payment.
Mm-hmm.
And putting all that together, I said, wait a minute. The little thing in the fob, couldn't they take that same little thing and inject it right into your hand? And then lo and behold, they began to do that, to do exactly that, to take the RFID tags and inject them into people. And I would like for the listeners to check out chipmenot.com if you're thinking of chipping your dog. I just heard from another dog owner just yesterday who had a huge tumorous mass removed from his neck, and it is cancer, and right in the middle of the cancer there's a microchip. We're seeing this over and over and over. The veterinarians don't want to talk about it. The RFID chipping people don't want to talk about it because there's big bucks in chipping animals. They're now making it mandatory to chip them, you know, all over the world. So these kinds of developments happening over the last 10, 15, 20 years have really been very eye-opening. And in 1999, you know, ever since I've had cancer, George, I'm much more willing to just come out and say things. You know, I realize I may not be here long.
Yeah, you're pretty blunt these days, aren't you?
I'll just be blunt. In 1999, I had a visit by the Holy Spirit. I have no other way to describe it. I was absolutely just blown away with light and love and an extraordinary feeling of calm and of purpose. And at that point in my life, in 1999, I had never been on the radio. Now I have a radio station that you know, I have a radio segment that's being picked up by over 100 stations around the country. I'm now speaking to 14 million people on your show. I'd never done any of that. And the Lord stepped into my life and picked me up in a place where I was not particularly being faithful and I wasn't really, you know, walking in a Christian path, and said, I've got some work for you to do, and it involves this mark of the beast, and, you know, take a look around. And so I began to research, and the privacy aspect of this alone was enough to make my skin crawl, and the two kind of converged. And back in 1999, when I, essentially when I had this experience, it lasted for about a week. And in that week, you'll laugh, but I taught myself HTML from scratch. I taught myself how to use Photoshop from scratch. I created all of the graphics, all of the text, and everything you see at the ancient website, nocards.org, the anti-supermarket card website. Created all of that in one blessed, extraordinary, illuminated week. And when it was over, I had this very calm sense of, okay, now you're launched. Now, you know, do the work that's put in front of you. And that's all I've done for the last, I don't know, 13 years.
Well, good for you. Let's go to the phones now. Let's go to our Skype caller, Daniel, in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Hi, Daniel. Go ahead.
Yes, hello. I want to say first that I believe I'm a Christian like our guest this morning. And I believe also that the Lord had given me a kind of dream or a vision for, it's called a renewable ammonia corridor value cycling network engine, but it's composed of model ammonia economies at cities, as the city would have a smart microgrid and electrosynthetic fuel for being ammonia, and each of those would be model sustainable cities. Now, to operate, they would require information sharing from the appliances in the house and such. And I've kind of believed that this idea would help us move away from foreign oil and kind of also help to be a background scene in praying for the peace of Israel and kind of getting behind the scenes economic stuff to help Israel. But I also don't desire to forward progression towards the mark of the beast, and so I've got a bit of a cognitive dissonance over the situation that I have. So if our guest can address whether it's okay to move forward in some ways, but I don't know if I should use the RFIDs or not, and if I've not described the situation well enough, be sure to let me know. I can add a little more detail. So that's a bit of where I'm coming from.
All right.
You know, there's an interesting quote that we opened Spy Chips with by C.P. Snow, who's a writer for the New York Times. And the quote says, technology is a queer thing. It gives you great gifts with one hand, and it stabs you in the back with the other. And one of the things about technology, there are no technologies that I can think of that have not had that characteristic of being both a blessing and simultaneously a curse. And I believe that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, when the deal was struck with Satan, essentially, in the garden, saying, if you eat this apple, you will have the knowledge of God, the knowledge of good and evil, which is the knowledge of technology. And isn't it interesting that now you've got 80% of people out there with one or more apple with a bite out of it products carrying them around, the Apple logo, which really represents us sealing that deal. So we made a decision as a species, as a human race, to pursue power and technology over relying on the goodness of God. So anytime someone says, hey, this technology can vastly improve things, all you have to do is give up more of your control to the technology and look at the benefits you'll receive, I say that's probably not the best deal.
Okay, next up we go next, wildcard line, Teresa, Boulder, Colorado. Hi, Teresa, good morning.
I have a weird question.
Nah, nothing's weird on this show.
Maybe the beast is the computer itself, and maybe we should just turn them all off. And what would happen if we all turned them off? What would happen to the world now if we all turned off our computers?
Well, that's an interesting take. And isn't there a computer called the Beast in Brussels?
Yeah, I've heard heard about that. You know, I actually believe that we are building the physical body for the beast now. I was in the Science Center at Harvard, and there was a poster on the wall that I thought was a human nervous system until I got close and discovered it was actually a picture of the Internet. And it looks just like a nervous system. We are building the ability, and if you read what these RFID people want to do and the transhumanists want to do and all the futurists and IBM and all these companies, what they want to do is turn the physical world into an actual organism so that we individually and all the physical objects become like the cells in the nervous system all communicating with the central brain, which is why when Google says it wants to become the mind of God, I nod and say, yes, that's exactly what Google wants to become, because it wants to be the embodiment of all of this stuff coming together. IBM has a program called the Global Skin. They're actually viewing the Earth as an organism with a skin, and they want to outfit it with all these nervous system sensors so they can detect everything that happens. And they want us to be part of it. And I actually believe that taking the mark of the beast in some symbolic way will be becoming a cell in the body of the thing that will ultimately be the beast. So as we build the nervous system, at some point, and the Bible's very clear on this, at some point, you know, Satan himself will come and embody the system and live through it, this thing that we've created for him. And at that point, we're toast. The planet, at least, is toast. We can still get out alive, though.
All right. Next up, we go to Shelley in Houston, Texas. Welcome to the show. Hi, Shelley.
Hi.
Hey. Go ahead.
Good morning. How are you doing?
We're good.
Hi, Shelley.
Great. My husband and I, we were listening tonight, and the show's been great, just to let you know that. And I was calling about the RFID badges. I worked in the school district here in Houston, and we've had those badges since the fall of 2010. All of the employees and the students have those.
Yeah, Houston was the first to roll it out. It was actually your spring school district there in Houston that did this initially. It's my understanding, though, that they haven't put the RFID tags into the doorways of the classrooms and the bathrooms, or have they now done that?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I could be driving, and when I would reach a certain range of the school, they could pick me up to see, you know, what time we were arriving, you know, into the school and everything. And we could find children, you know, wherever. Now, I'm not sure that they have them in the bathrooms, but there were certain areas of the school that they could find them, and even outside of the school.
My goodness, because when they first introduced that, and this is how this typically happens, they said, we're only going to use it on the buses. Only when kids get on and off the bus. And now to hear that they've expanded it into the school is, you know, exactly what we would have worried about when we said, well, hang on, if you put it there, it's going to be like a snowball rolling downhill. It's going to wind up everywhere. How do you feel, Shelley, about having this kind of tracking device on you to go to work?
No, I don't like it. Now that I'm hearing all of this, it's like really freaky. You know, it's like, no, I don't like this.
Well, I would love to organize something down in San Antonio. So if you'd like to get involved, given that you have inside information there in Houston, I would love to hear from you. So if you'd like to email me, my email address is KMA, those are my initials, at spychips.com. And you can just drop me a line, and I will follow up with you, and we'll see what we can do about it.
Catherine, do you get a lot of emails, and what are people generally asking you for?
I do get a lot of email. People share a lot of important stories. They share a lot of encouragement. I have a lot of people ask me, hey, what do I do if I think I've been microchipped? That's a pretty common question. I don't have an answer after speaking to literally hundreds of people who believe they've been microchipped. I still haven't been able to get to the bottom of that particular mystery. Haven't found the kind of evidence that my scientific brain wants to find of that. But people wanting to volunteer, people wanting to listen to my radio show, which is Monday through Friday and on Saturdays too, they can find that at kmashow.com. All sorts of things. And I do get a ton of email, a lot of Start Page fans out there, people who love private searching. And I'd say lately I get a ton of email saying, when is the Start Mail private email program going to be ready? That's probably a third of my email, so I should probably answer that here on the air so I don't get more of those. That email program, which will be the alternative to Gmail and Hotmail and Yahoo, so you can write email without it being read, will be available, we are now saying, the beginning of 2013. And all of the people who have signed up as beta testers will be getting an announcement when it's ready. And the reason it's taking so long, we thought we were going to build the email program, the private email, on top of an existing program and just modify it to make it private. We wound up going back and rewriting every single last line of code. We stripped it to the walls and rewrote it, so it will be absolutely state-of-the-art 2013 technology, and there will be nothing more private on the Internet, totally encrypted. Even we won't be able to read your email. So, oh, and if people want to get on that beta list, we set up an email for it. Can I give it out?
Yes, please.
Yeah, it's beta, B-E-T-A, at startpage.com, beta at startpage.com. And if you write to that, we will get back to you. We'll put you on the announcement list, and we're going to let Coast listeners beta test the program and be the first to use it for free. You know, we'll give you access so you can go in and tell us what you think. And that'll probably be, as I said, the beginning of 2013. I'm hoping January 1st so we can start off the new year with private email. It'll be exciting.
Okay, let's go to our wild card line. Shane in New Orleans, welcome to the program. Hi, Shane. Go ahead.
Hey, George. How you doing? Catherine.
Good. Good,
hi,
good to have you with us.
Thanks for having my call. I'm a born-again Christian myself, you know, since like 5 years old. Sounds strange, but, you know. But I've read and studied the Bible since. And my question for Catherine is, I believe in the book Revelation, of course, like yourself. And you said that you would, if you could, hold up signs and protest RFIDs, you know, bracelets upon that pre-mentioned music event. Do you, like myself, struggle with our Holy Bible belief for the inevitability of the book of Revelation and of the Word? And do you struggle with the fact that you can't touch every person in a whole wide world, and should you just maybe focus upon the people that you can touch around your immediate self?
Well, what a wonderful, wonderful question. I have, if you look at my life over the last 12, 13 years that I've been doing this work, I've been raising awareness. I have been fighting back and successfully against some things, but I often feel like I'm using a trash can lid to fend off the ocean, you know, like it's going to just go around me. I don't have, my shield is not big enough to protect everybody and maybe not even myself from these technologies. So they are going to come. It is inevitable. Everything the Bible says is absolutely true. So then what is my job? And I view my job may be different from your job, by the way, Shane, because I think the Lord gives us all different jobs. But my job, I believe, is to kind of be like the crew of the Titanic, because as the ship was sinking, the music was playing, the lights were on, people were wearing evening gowns, and they didn't want to jump into the cold water. They wanted to stay on board the ship, and they didn't believe it was sinking. And there were crew members who had seen the size of the hole and the water that the ship was taking on, and they did not do a good enough job sounding the alarm on the deck to get people into those lifeboats. And people don't realize this, but as the Titanic sank, there were lots of empty spaces in the lifeboat that went unfilled because people didn't get in time. So I kind of view my job as saying, hey, you know, we struck an iceberg way back in the Garden of Eden. We've been taking on water ever since, and we're about to go under. And there is a lifeboat, and that is Jesus Christ. So hop into the lifeboat. And unless I really make it clear that the things in the Bible are absolutely true and that the ship is going to sink and it's not going to be a pleasant thing as we get into those end times and the trauma that's coming, unless you understand that, then you really don't have an incentive to seek for an escape hatch. And, as things get harder, and as we were talking, George, about how, you know, the dark is going to get darker and the light is going to get lighter, those choices are going to become pressure on people to make a decision.
Sure is.
And so I'm here kind of just pointing the way. Can
right.
I stop it? Absolutely not. Will it be stopped? No, it won't. But as we fight the battles, it brings awareness and forces people to make a decision. Do I want to shop at Macy's or not? Do I want to take the time to call them up and say no? Do I want to take the time to, you know, do all these various things that need doing? And I think the answer for me is yes. I would stand out there at Coachella and say, turn back. Don't do it.
Michael in Yucca Valley, west of the Rockies. Go ahead, Michael. Thanks for calling.
Good evening, George. Good evening, Catherine.
Hi, Michael.
I want to let you know the Bible says that women are like diamonds in God's eye, and I understand all the time. And I have a comment and a question. Have you gone to YouTube and seen the new, they're like patches that assimilate into your skin, and they actually they go below the derma? That's one YouTube that just sent the hair on the top of my head. I was electrified when I saw it. It's like a transparent Band-Aid with electronics in it, and it actually assimilates into your skin. Also, where do you think it'll erupt first? The drastic awareness that America is trying to hide, because I see so many Christians and they're saying, "Well, I'm just waiting for Jesus to come." And here is a post, a pre, and then post toasty. And I believe that we're going to have to go through a lot of stuff before we wake up.
Let's get your answers to all of those, Catherine, when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, part 3 of 4 for our Shape Up North America campaign, our efforts to lose 15 million pounds, so we'll have that on our next show, followed by, yep, we're going to talk about the pyramids on Coast to Coast AM. And when we come right back, let's take final phone calls with Catherine Albrecht on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Our last caller wanted to know about some patches that people have been putting on. Have you heard of those?
And actually, there's so many different RFID technologies for medical purposes. I would love to hear more about that one. So, Michael, if you want to email me again, it's kma@spychips.com. I'd love to get the details on that. But Michael also brought up a very interesting question, which is this sort of tribulation thing. Will we be raptured away?
When does it happen?
Yeah. Will we be raptured before it happens? And I want to point people to Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6. And I'd like to actually read this because I've never heard anybody mention this when this discussion comes up, and I think it's the most crucial passage in the whole Bible addressing it. John says in his vision, "I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands." All right, so this is the generation that gets killed, that is beheaded, as Revelation tells us in chapter 13. They will be beheaded for refusing to worship the beast and take his mark. So then John goes on in Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6. He says, "And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That's the millennial reign. Listen to this part, though. "But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection." Those are the people who are beheaded for not taking the mark, who are then resurrected for that 1,000 years. "On such, the second death has no power, but they shall be the priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So how can it possibly be that the people who are raptured away because they're so wonderful don't get the benefits of this 1,000-year reign with Christ? It makes no sense. So from just reading this passage, Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6, it's very...
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we come to the close of that segment. And I want to add that we are, once again, we're still offering our free articles to 14th Amendment Exposed as well as the Commerce Game. Just simply hit me up at tahaka99@yahoo.com. That's tahaka99@yahoo.com, and we get that to you. I see we got a caller with his hand raised. I'm going to open up the line. Area code 281, tell us who you are, where you're calling from, or what's your question or comment.
Well, peace, brother. This is Will Hawkins, the founder of the Higher Science Research Institute in Houston. And I've been listening to the show, brother. Great show. Great topic, man. A lot of interesting points were made. Commend your work. If I may say something about these chips, though, what we're seeing is the very tip of the iceberg. There are other technologies that are being used. I know because I've developed similar technologies for healing purposes that you can use to heal a person remotely using what they call biophotons and scalar waves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this technology was, rediscovered in the early 1920s. And to make a long story short, what happened is that the AMA and the FDA, when they, you know, evolved, they started beheading a lot of doctors, medical doctors, and researchers in general, scientists included, physicists, and et cetera. Well, in the 1930s, there was a particular lady, which I won't get too far into it now, who invented a camera that you could literally use to, let's say, take cross-section photos of any organ or a CAT scan or any of this using a strand of your hair as an antenna. And you could be on the other side of the planet. It wouldn't matter. Now, keep in mind, this was in the 1930s. There's British patents, the whole nine. The United States government went on a witch hunt, and they killed this lady during the Civil Rights Movement, a white lady. Nobody knows about her. There's 98% of the people in America that are oblivious to this fact. Now, here with the spy chips, the microchips and all this stuff, man, what I would recommend to those people who think this is all a bunch of bull, read IBM and the Holocaust. Read that book, or at least watch part of the documentary on YouTube, IBM and the Holocaust. And it explains the history and IBM's role in creating technology that you can use to categorize slave labor. Mm-hmm. Okay, now what we have here is no different. But what we're seeing, again, with these microchips, this is the very tip of the iceberg, man. I'm telling you. Now, I'll say this and I'll leave it alone. I recently wrote an article, and brother, I encourage you to take a critical look at my world. And at another time, you know, when there's more time, I'll explain the whole situation, because it's one of those things you'd have to explain all of it for any of it to make sense. But I can guarantee you what we're talking about here with the spy chips, this is the very tip of the iceberg. And if the American people knew what the government were hiding, they would be completely outraged, because what they did is they took advanced medical technology that works on principles of not only scalar energies, which the human brain itself transmits, but of free energy, zero-point energy, tachyon fields, information fields, if you will, et cetera, and they weaponized this technology instead of using it in the hospitals like they do in Britain. But the article that I wrote is called Suppressed Technology, or Suppressed Healing Technology Turned Super Weapon. That will give you guys a start to understand what I really want to tell you, and I can't speak it over the phone.
Okay.
But thank you for that.
Is it any way that the audience could get a hold of this information? Do you have a way that they can contact you in order to get a hold of this information?
Absolutely. Well, my website is Higher Science Research Institute. .com. I'm on Facebook. Business is on Facebook. I have a business page on there as well, the Higher Science Research Institute. I've written numerous scientific articles explaining the nature of this technology. I've had people approach me, especially back in the day. Now they just do it subtly and kindly ask me to, you know, not speak about this particular topic. But please, higherscienceresearchinstitute.com, it's not about the money, but it's about the knowledge, I'm telling you. Because if people don't figure out what these folks are up to, and trust me, it's beyond the microchips. I'm talking scalar interferometry. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about torsion field physics that has been used as a weapon. If you don't know what it is, I urge you to do the research and, you know, get a hold of me, via Facebook, shoot me an email, whatever, and I can send you links. I can send you copies of professional scientific papers that the masses don't even see, information that you'll never hear of. But I'll put it to you like this, as you'll understand when you read the article. Imagine being in a hospital in New York, and you call a hospital in Japan, and you say, hey, well, listen, something's wrong with me. My stomach hurts. I need to know what's wrong. And they say, sure. They take a drop of your blood that they have on file, and they put it in a special machine. And that machine literally uses your blood as an antenna, your DNA, literally. And it sends a signal to you, a scalar signal. It analyzes your body, and then they say, oh, well, sir or ma'am, you have the, you know, stomach flu. But don't worry, we'll send you a frequency right now to offset it. And then they send you a frequency, and it kills the virus. That frequency don't affect other people. It only affects you because they're directing the energy towards you using your biophotons, okay, and your DNA. And if you think it's far-fetched, I challenge you to get on the Internet and go to the United States Air Force website, or just type in dosimetry, D-O-S-I-M-E-T-R-Y, dosimetry handbook. It's the United States Air Force guidebook for radio frequencies, and it includes scalar energies. While they tell the public, oh, well, no, there's no such thing as scalar waves. It's a bunch of BS. But let me let you in on a secret so you know what you're reading. Scalar waves are a scientific way of describing spiritual energy. When you hear a scientist say scalar wave, what they're really talking about is a feminine form of spiritual energy. Now,
okay, well, let me ask you this right here.
Sure.
Now, I can't send any friend requests out on Facebook, but could you send me? Could you go ahead on and send me a friend request on Facebook to Tahaka Amana L. Bay, and so that I can grant that friend request and we can have access to this information and I can get it on to the people.
As a matter of fact, we're friends.
Okay, well, go ahead.
I'm Brother Will Hawkins.
Get it on to the wall.
Oh, I've been waiting for this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Send it on to me. We only have a few moments left, and what I will do is I would post some of this information, but I would like for you to chat over there on Facebook, and then we can see how we can get some of this stuff out
okay.
So that the people can be aware of it, and we can set up some things in the future as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, could you give us that website one more time?
Absolutely. It's www.higher, H-I-G-H-E-R, Science Research Institute.com.
Okay.
Now, especially look under the page that says spiritual technology, and you'll see my latest inventions that I was describing to you, but you'll see.
Okay. All right, well, brother, I certainly appreciate you calling in, and I'm going to mute your mic, and I look forward to connecting with you right there on Facebook.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, bro. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we only have a few more moments left, and I just want to say that the broadcast that we had this evening is very, very important. And I think we should begin to take necessary steps now to offset some things. We're going to be doing another broadcast Monday night. And this broadcast is going to be on how to get your loved ones released from prison, part one. And we're going to give a complete breakdown on that and some steps. So make sure that you have your paper and pencil handy, because you're going to need to write down some things And for those of you who have loved ones in prison, and we're going to lay that out for you, and then we'll come back later on with part two, and then we'll keep on going in hopes of bringing you stuff that you can use. Keep in mind that all the information that you're hearing here this evening will be added to Tahaka's library in its original format, be it audio as well as video. And it is very important that you contact me in regards to accessing that library at area code 904-303-9061, because there's tons of information on what's going on inside the United States, including technology, and including some of the most awesome scientists who ever lived, that ever lived in on this planet, a gentleman like Nikola Tesla and others, and their stories and their technologies and what they brought to the table that the government has in their possession is not making it available to you, and all of these things. And also, for our free articles that were mentioned in the broadcast, just go ahead and hit me up at tahaka99@yahoo.com, and I'll get those to you as an email attachment. That's tahaka99@yahoo.com, and we will get that to you. Okay. Now, we won't have any music at the end of the broadcast, but I certainly appreciate you all tuning in, and we're going into our last and final segment.
Science fiction became reality today. The Food and Drug Administration approved a computer chip that's implanted into people.
Chapter 4, right out of Hollywood.
This may be a little uncomfortable.
A microchip inside the body. A hidden high-tech identification tag.
Finally from us this evening, technology on the cutting edge. We were interested today to hear that more than 100 law enforcement officials in Mexico are having microchips implanted in their arms. The chips allow a person to be scanned, sort of like a cereal box at the supermarket checkout.
The microchip, the size of a grain of rice, is injected under the skin and gives off a low-frequency radio wave. A scanner reads each chip's identification number.
The ultimate goal that these people have in mind is the goal to create a one-world government run by the banking industry, run by the bankers, and they're doing it in sections. The European currency, the euro, and the European constitution is one part of it. Now they're trying to do it in America, with the North American Union. Right, and they want to create a new currency called the Amero, right? And the whole agenda is to create a one-world government where everybody has an RFID chip implanted in them. All money is to be in those chips, right? There'll be no more cash. And this is giving me straight from Rockefeller himself. This is what they want to accomplish. And all money will be in your chips. And so instead of having cash, anytime you have money in your chip, they can take out whatever they want to take out whenever they want to. If they say you owe us this much money in taxes, they just deduct it out of your chip digitally.
Total control.
And if you're like me or you, and you're protesting what they're doing, they can just turn off your chip, and you have nothing. You can't buy food. You can't do anything. It's total control of the people.
And that chip's connected to a database that has your purchasing records, what you do.
Everything is in there, you know? And so they want a one-world government controlled by them, everybody being a chip, all your money in those chips, and they control the chips, and they control people. And you become a slave. You become a servant to these people. That's their goal. That's their intention.
Is developing an implantable chip with a global positioning system to track people miles away, whether kidnapped or lost, just as cars can now be traced. A kind of LoJack for the body.
A tiny chip can lead to a wealth of information about you.
If you had been implanted with the device, a doctor would scan your upper arm and then...
That's the number that would come up when you got scanned.
That number is entered into a computer database.
What's the point of all this? You have all the money in the world you need. You have all the power you need. What's the point? What's the end goal? And he said the end goal is to get everybody chipped, to control the whole society, to have the bankers, the elite people, you know, the bankers and some governor controlling the world. And I said, do all the people in the Council on Foreign Relations believe this way? You do? No. You know, most of them believe they're doing the right thing. A lot of them believe it's better off being socialistic. You know, we have to convince people that capitalism, that socialism is really capitalism. Because America's becoming a socialist country. It's a communist country today.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen.